This year is brought to you by Eshel Publications. Eshel Publications is a non-profit organization dedicated to spreading the Torah, Shiurim, and Sefarim of Rabbi Aaron Lapiansky. For sponsorships or more information, visit eshelpublications.com.
Okay. Oitzam, Amar Biach, Negoim Ubonim, Einam Yisurim, Shalavav, Negoim Veloi, Vechulu, Varm Veichon, Kol Mishish, Ta'achas, Medalad Maris, Negoim Alola, Einam Mizbeach Kapara. So my answer is Vech Kapara Havi Yisrim Shava Loi Havi. We both say like Kash Alom Balehu, depending if the halacha is on again or not. We both say my Bitzinim for Hesia. Obonim Loi, the Gemara brings, the Gemara says, Hey Chadam, Ilei Mida Havle Meisu, Ayre Bechnen says, was Dein Garmed Asar Biroi. Ela Hodle Havle Klal, Vod Havle Meisu. So, Gemara has a list of things that count as Yisurim Shel Ava versus the things that don't count Yisurim Shel Ava. So what's going to determine what's called Yisurim Shel Ava or not? It can't be because they're better or worse or whatever. All Yisurim are pretty bad. And picking out these four as not being Yisurim Shel Ava, you have to find the common denominator. So he says, "Ukvar yizboya ki yisurim shel ava hem adibuk v'achibat shem yisbar." His overarching description of yisurim shel ava was that as long as a person is physical and tied to that which is physical, he can't be mishtayach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he needs to have some sort of zichuch on the goof to bring him closer to Hashem Yisbarach. So the assumption is, the goal of the Yisurim is to be medavek Hashem Baruch Hu. Olekach ein royu shir negoyim Yisurim shel ave, kal di anego meruchal gam Hashem Yisbarach. Ad shu meruchak min abriyas mikol shem Hashem Yisbarach. Sheksiv bodet yeshem chutzamach na moishavar nesach legamri. So in other words, those type of Yisurim that are, that the content of the Yisurim is Richuk, it doesn't make sense that it would contain in itself the element of Kirov. If we're describing Yisurim Shel Ava, Yisurim that cause a Dveikas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if the Halacha of Negoim, so obviously, if it's just an ugly type of wound that people kind of find pretty horrifying, they want to keep away from, that wouldn't be in this category. But if the halacha dictates, the halacha mandates richuk for this, you can't say that this becomes kiruv, just by definition. That's why negoyim can't be a yisurim shel ava. Next he says, v'gam kein mi she'en lebonim, ki ksivet zisun shel ave u ka'ave z'ben yiratze shenoyeg Hashem Yisbarach imoy k'mer av sh'oyeves b'noy u mishen lebonim ein lemida zois shenema boy u ka'ave z'ben yiratze u lekach ein roi sh'Hashem Yisbarach noyeg imoy ka'ave m'ben ach sh'atze yon ha'ge zois. So here he says a little more of a deeper knetch. The Gemara says somebody doesn't have children can't sit in the Sanhedrin because he's devoid of rachmim. In other words, rachmim is something that is nis'oyer from a person as child. And a person who doesn't have that experience doesn't have yet the sense of a rachmim on somebody that goes beyond the gvul of din. Let's talk about a certain nekuda here. A person can have children and not be a terribly good person. A person can not have children and can be a very kind person. There's not, we have examples of both. That's not the pshat. But that there's a possibility of Ava Mekalkelis HaShura, that there's the possibility of someone having a type of feeling about someone where the idea of he doesn't deserve better a father might say it about a child in a fit of anger, it doesn't deserve X, Y, Z, but it'll snap back, and even if the person doesn't deserve it, he's still going to do everything to try to have the child have it. It's a certain sense of rachmim. It's an emotion that awakens in a person when he has children. It's something as when he doesn't have it, and it never woke up, it's a muscle that never got woken up. So his natural sense of justice will limit his chesed. So it's true, a kinder person will do more kindness, and less kind person will do less kindness, irregardless of whether his children are not. But this type of thing where Rachim Rachmenen Um Hashem, that type of sense of Avam Kagel Sashura, that shayach with a ben only. So therefore, a Kaddish Baruch Hu does not make it. If a person has that, a person is lacking banim, so he's lacking that midah. And b'meila, Kaddish Baruch Hu doesn't relate to him with that midah. And you can't put it into the category of like an av lebnoi. So that's one havana. In as much as the person has these inyanim, there's an element of mace. Ki mishein lebonim v'olach hariri nichas Hashem Yisbach v'ein kan ava v'chibo mikoshke negoyim shum sol gam Hashem Yisbach v'ovin zeh me'oid. So this is, it's not, the reason why he calls it a deeper element is because it's not so much as the Yisurim in themselves, each particular Yisurim, but anything that will be categorized as kemes, is lacking some sort of chibur HaKadosh Baruch Hu mitzad that. In other words, I cannot say that a type of Yisurin that labels me kemes is Yisurin Shalav. It's just like we can say that a person suffered so that he improve his ways and become better in one way or another, but you can't say somebody died in order to improve his ways or to become better. You know, the argument of this calamity happened to you to prevent a greater calamity has a very natural stop. If the calamity is death, it's not prevent anything else. In this case, you can't say that's a stepping stone for something else when it's categorized something akin to Misa. V'teda oid, kisurim shel av. Yeah.
What does Maral mean in a general way when he says Bahaben
Vav Zemoid? So, yeah. I think usually it implies that it's something that shaykhs to Kabbalah. In this case, I don't see it. Usually when he says Alpidach HaChachma V'yesh L'Havin Oid and all that, usually it also has a words in Kabbalah that it's Miramis to. In this case, I'm not sure. I think it stands on its own. It's something which it stands mitzad itzatzmer, and I don't know that it's anything that is anything special in Kabbalah. Can I get that? Usually, when I'll say there are four things, and he explains these four things, and I'll say v'havinoid, it will be meramis on midas v'akadosh baruch hu, the shame v'akadosh baruch hu, things like that. Here, I'm not particularly sure why. In a certain sense, by Avraham Avinu, when Avraham Avinu said matitanli, he was expressing that same point that if Akadosh Baruch Hu says I'm giving you X, Y, and Z, the whole thing is meaningless if a person like a mace, giving a person many gifts and great gifts is fantastic if the person is living. So that's sort of what he meant. V'teda oid ki yisurim shel ava him lemarek o lezachech es gufo min achet v'dov v'zeh shayach b'yisurim agin al atzmoy Adam. So Yisurin Shel Ava is something that is takes what's there, takes a person's flesh, and sort of sands it down, makes it more mezuchach and so on. Al mishein lo bonim lo nikra ze miruk. Sheina rak head the bonim. Vein ze miruk klal. Rak shabon lo bisurim achutz. So he says, a lack of something more, is not really a miruk, as much as it's difficult. The ains that doime kasheish la nius, shevarek shein lo lechol ki yitzu bezeh him yisurim markin. So much. What about anius? So he says, you're right. The lack of acids in itself is not this type of yisurin, but since the lack of acids causes the person to suffer, he doesn't have what to eat, it's cold, he doesn't have what to wear, that's what becomes yisurin. Al banim einim yisurim neguf. Ke einzurak heder banim l'shepzer shu heder shibon lov shul ava. Aval im hoi le banim meisu. So the morale distinguishes between two types of pain. Lacking something is not miruk, but taking that which the person has being memarikit with yisurim, that is called miruk. So one teretz is that there's a difference between Yisurim Shel Ava and Mizbeach Kapara. So he explains Kapara works with Mida Keneged Mida versus Yisurim, which are different. So I guess let's try to make it a little more clear. In Aveira, we're dealing with specifically the area of wrong that the person did. And for that, you have a tsar that is equivalent to whatever it is that you did. However it is that Kadosh Baruch Hu measures that tsar, but that's what it is. It's an equivalent type of tsar, so that the person learns the effects of his Aveira. It's not a miruk process. It's not directly affecting his chumrius and gashmis, etc. It really is something that depends on the avera that he did. Masha'ein came over here in something which he calls Yisurin Shel Ava. It has to be something which affects the chumr that he has and works on making it more mezuchach. So Mizbeach Kapara is really what we're focused on is what's the avera that he did and what's l'umaseh versus the Yisurim Shel Ava, which is for being mezach the person. Umetarat olam v'hu v'nirli pirusha kibaretz Yisurim Shel Ava, which is fascinating. One would learn Pshat Nigmar the opposite, that in Eretz Yisrael where you have all of these inyanim that happen, that's not Yisurim Shel Ava, that's what Richuk is. He learns not like that. Ki afal gav ki hametzorim ruchan shem sparach ki mishu b'Eretz Yisrael ni meruchim mito legamri al bebovel she'enoi Eretz Yisrael akdoisha hanigoyim archok gmura. Or you could learn like Rashi learns that this is Pashat Pshat, that you know in Eretz Yisrael you have all these halachot tchiyah and rechika, masha ein kein in chutz lartz you don't have it. Let's talk about this a little bit. So he says the first pshat, his own pshat is that the ma'ala of Eretz Yisrael is that even though the person is very meruchek from, even though the brunt and the force of the Averis happen in the brunt force of the Goyim are manifest in Eretz Yisrael rather than Chutz La'aretz. Still, there's more Ashkacha that keeps them closer and so on. I want to add a knetch. I'm not sure 100% full of it, the morale is in the morale, but I think definitely the point of it is. The Ramban says that Negoyim are only Chal in Eretz Yisrael, the only Chal at a time, Negoyim and Saita, since these are two things that are very, very unusual. They're sort of Shalik Derchateva, that if you speak Lashari, you get Negoyim, or the Saita. They're only Shaykh in Eretz Yisrael, they're only Shaykh when Chal Yisrael is in a very, very good Matzev, and so on. So that's when you have the special Einish and so on. What it means is Yisurin can be called Yisurin Shal Ava so long as simultaneous with the Yisurim there's a manifestation of the Ava behind it. At the end of the day, the Chibur and Dibuk HaKadosh Baruch Hu is really a function of getting a sense that we become a closer HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So if a person has in himself, even if he has something as distressful as Negoyim, which normally is a tsar of such nature that since, like he says, it's Richuk, people are Misrachik from you, it doesn't contain itself Ava, because Ava is Kiruv and Dveikus. But in Eretz Yisrael, because when you have the parsha of Negoyim in Eretz Yisrael, it's a parsha in the Torah. So a person understands it as being part and parcel of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hanhaga. It's something which is the imminence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hashgach in Eretz Yisrael makes that even the Tzar that's visited, so long as I see it within a context of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hashgacha, it's Kirva rather than Richuk. Let's give an example. You have two people. One person never had a Nevuah, never spoke to Navi, no Navi came to him, and he lives his life, whatever. The second person, a Navi, came to him and said, Koyamar Hashem, you're going to have this tsar at this time, and this tsar at this time, and this problem at this time, and so on. And it comes true. So the second one definitely has a harder time, obviously. He's going through difficult periods. But he certainly senses a hashgacha and a kirva to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as these events are unfolding. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it his business to call out to me and to tell me, listen, these are the things that will befall you, obviously I'm on his radar screen. He's, as they would say in Shiva Talk, he's gairis me. Whereas if the other person, he can definitely not be blamed for feeling that he's off the radar screen. No Navi told him anything and nothing. In Eretz Yisrael, because there are halachas that, as regards both Mitzayra and Saita for that matter, so the person that's undergoing that difficulty is keenly aware of the fact that this is all part of Hashkacha, it's all part of Ratzon Hashem, and so on. It's not, he wasn't left to his fate, he's being taken someplace. So if the overall context of Yisurim Shel Ava is something which is something brings a closer to Hashem Baruch Hu, these two, even though the Yisurim may be considered that. There's a fascinating letter. It was found at a poignant letter of the Breslover to somebody. If somebody wrote him a letter that he's going through a lot of difficulties. Breslov always seemed to be going through difficulties, and it always seemed to attract the people who had it the hardest. And he said, the tzaras that I'm facing are totally irrational. They just make no sense whatsoever. That was the context of the letter to him. His reply is, you're very fortunate, because if the tzaras made sense, all you would have are the tzaras. Now that it don't make sense, you have a Kadosh Baruch Hu there. In other words, if I blame myself, if I say that the reason why my car broke down was because I didn't do the oil change at the right time, or because I didn't warm up the car, whatever it is, then the problems are within a bubble of teva. What I did, what I didn't do, what I should have done, what I could have done, that's that. When something happens to me most extraordinarily unusual, where it's clear to me that there is, it's clear to me because of it being so incredibly unusual and unnatural, then I see a Kadosh Baruch Hu in that as well. It might be very, very maddening, because it doesn't, why would a Kadosh Baruch Hu want to do this to me, and so on, fine. But I know I have a Kadosh Baruch Hu within that. So that's the element of Yisurim Shalava, is that I feel that that's there. So in Eretz Yisrael, I'd like to sort of phrase it into him. I don't know if he's not saying it 100%, but I still think it falls in the context of what he's saying, that in Eretz Yisrael, because there's a parsha mitzvah, there's a parsha negoim, so those things are in a context of something close to Kadosh Baruch Hu, and that could count as social avo. I once read Rav Soloveitchik has a famous, very very famous book / essay called Ish Halacha. That was sort of an attempt at describing the brisker mindset in philosophy. But to quote somebody, it's the philosophy of the people that have no philosophy. But he tries to describe the Reb Chaim and the Bali Torah and so on. And his point is, he says like this. He says that what's the right word? He says Reb Chaim Brisker used to get depressed or down when he would think about Yom HaMisa, and then he would learn a Holos and be in good spirits again. And his point was that for Reb Chaim, his despondency at Yom HaMisa wasn't because he thought that a person disappears at Yom HaMisa and what's going to be the next world and Yom HaDin. That wasn't his train of thought. His train of thought was the only reality is the world of Halacha. And once Mesim are Mufka from Mitzvahs, they don't belong anymore to the world of Halacha, and therefore there's a lack of reality because it's you don't belong to the world of Halacha. The Aholus means that even a Mace has some connection to the world of Halacha, and therefore he was kind of reassured. Kopanim, the shayches to Akadosh Baruch Hu, even if at a time when it's negative, has in itself that reassurance. There's a fascinating, the Kuzari, when he speaks about there's a long piece where he speaks about Klai Yisrael versus Umos HaOlam today, and even though the Kuzari asked the Chava that basically you're missing, if you tell me the Beis HaMikdash is gone, you're missing your heart neshama, and he says it's much worse than that, we're like a goof with pieces all over the place and so on and so forth, and he says, but one thing, he says the Umos HaOlam, they're just an imitation. It's like when you have a valuable painting and then you make a copy of it. the copy might be extant, but it's only a copy. It's not the thing itself. So he says, when he speaks about the difference between their temples and our temples, he says they never were rewarded with Shechina when they did good, and their temples were never destroyed when they did bad. The destruction of the Roman Empire came about as a result of natural historic forces, you know, and you can explain it in natural history of sorts, in general history. Same thing's true with the church, the rise and the wane of the church and the ups and the downs. It's the type of stuff that falls under the framework of history. This is something that is we deher HaKadosh Baruch Hu both at the times of Toiv and when the reaction, when it's not Toiv, you still deher HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I told somebody once, I asked a boy in the yeshiva, and I don't remember already the context we were talking about, asked him, you know, you feel that your parents are tough on you and so on and so forth, you know, they expect you to do better, worse, whatever. So I said, you know, it may be, but I said, let me ask you the following question. Imagine you came home with a 40 on your test. You got a 40. And your parent pats you on your shoulder and says, oh, that's wonderful. That's very nice, sweetheart. Go play outside. Said, honestly, what would you feel then? You'd feel that either your parents think you're worthless, they couldn't care less, they have no interest in your well-being and well-doing. Obviously, how they criticize the lack of a good mark makes a difference. You know, it can be done sometimes very viciously, it can be done sometimes just in a fit of anger and frustration, but on the whole, criticizing something means you care. If my neighbor's son comes and shows me they got a 40 on the test, so what do? I do pat him on the back and say, you'll do better, Tato, it's okay. It's not my problem, so that's my reaction to it. So understanding it, as long as when the Yisurim come in the context of a great Hashkacha, then they are, then you can understand a Kadosh Baruch Hu in it. The Avol Chutzlars, he says, let's just finish up. Kim Shabbat Shach, Kadosh Baruch Hu Mashchai Boyim Lav Negoyim Vunitkel Chutz Ki Akom Achik Sam Nuga Okan Tzimu Shavu Ki Kasher Mekav Richo Yisurim Eni Son Shavu Avol Chutzlars. He says, Avol Chutzlars. So this is Rashi's Pshat, which is the opposite, and is much more pashut, that if somebody is in Chutz La'aretz, so there is no richuk in terms of the consequence of it, so maybe that's not called richuk, and so on. Let's see the next piece. Tana Tana Kav Reichna Kol Yitzik B'Torik Mil Chassadim Kav Yitzbana Merchus Kav V'Noisa Ore Reichna Bishtam B'Torik Mil Chassadim Dichsiv Says B'Chesed V'Emes Yichupa Oven Chesed Mil Chassadim V'Emes U'Torik Shem V'Emes K'nei V'Al Timkar Ela Kav Yitzbana Av Minolan Tanala Usabo Mishum Shim Yehoi Os Oven Oven. Sivaka Bechaz Emes Yehupa Oven, Xiv Hosom Shalom Oven Ovis Arakne Machreem. Kva Amarnu Paomim Harbe Moid. Im Kicha Homim Zal, Kol Devrea Mina Mikro, Mekomokon Sichon Vrem Tam. Kilidorish Hakos of Ludrash Hakos of Vad Bolalamid, Akshishkan Tam Sichli Gamke. So he says agavurcha, something that's very, very valuable and very important. We wonder sometimes at the drushes of Chazal, especially in Agarita, that seem to be quite wild. Yes, you find the word oven here and the word oven here. I'm sure that the word of oven appears other times and so on. So he says, he calls it the phrase al pishnayim edim. Let's give an analogy to it that maybe would be more common. A person says a shir in Gemara, in Pulpa, in Lamdas, and he has a diuk in a Rashi that implies a certain halacha. The person has two diukim. One diuk implies a halacha that no one has ever heard of. It would mean a chiddush that is stated no other place, runs counter to anything we know. And one is a chiddush that fits squarely with much of what we know. A reasonable person will take the diuk that's unusual and kind of incredible and say, I don't know, I don't understand what Rashi is implying over here, and leave it at that. Whereas if the diuk implies something which is established and known, then we would say, yeah, I think that's exactly what Rashi means. It makes a lot of sense. If a person has writing a contract, lahavdil, and in it there's an implication for a reasonable demand, then a person who's logical will say, you know, read the language, and it makes a lot of sense that the person is requesting X, Y, or Z. Whereas if a diuk is merame something that is unusual and not the norm, then I need to ask myself, why in the world? It doesn't make any sense. So there are many things like that where it goes hand in hand. There are remuzim in the Torah for many things. Chazal had the fine tuning to pick up those remuzim, but they wouldn't use a remez to find something that doesn't make any sense, that they don't think is true. It's the same thing like your gematrias. Gematrias are wonderful. If you take a look at the Baal HaTurim, Baal HaTurim will show you many, many wonderful gematrias that support halacha, and that's fine. But I am sure that if you looked, you'll find many gematrias that are against halacha. And nobody will say gematria implies that's against halacha. So when Chazal come along and they have a drasha in Agadat and they say something like this, it's not the pshat, well, on the basis of what the words are, two similar words, they built up this whole thing. It doesn't make any sense. What it implies is Chazal felt that the Etzim Inyan itself is right. It's a sensible point. And then they had a fine sense to see that there's a remez for it in the Torah. But a remez only makes sense if it's... So when I take a Chazal like this, it's not just based on because there's a pasuk of an oven. It's because something of substance and reasonable is being said, and we find it merumez in the Torah. And that's why it's important to try to understand what's being said. What is Zorach Ladas? Ki achatoim v'avoynes kulam inkluim rak beguf adam achomri v'chisorin adam u'mitzad shuchas eshod peitzahar v'dazav v'maskidim. So the issues of Averis are because the person is chomri. That's where it's... If the person would not be made of flesh and blood, Averis would have a hard time latching on to anything. V'oma ki oisi b'torim asan dovazav... Yes?
On that point again, it's yeah. A little bit more ma'ayin into it. Why are the time in the chomer? I can explain a little bit more. Is it because you can cut things off from the source, or what exactly is that about?
Okay, let's give an example. If I'm trying to convince somebody to do X, Y, or Z, so if the person has no, for instance, I'm trying to get X to invest in a business deal with me. So I come to him and I tell him, you know, this has potential to make globs and globs of money. If the person has not that much interest in money, they're not going to go far. If I say, doing this thing will make you world famous, your name is going to be in every newspaper, this and that. So I need the person to have a fondness for that in order for my message to work. Ra itself, chomer is not ra, but it's where ra is nizdabik. When I'm kulei neshama, I have no taivus, I have no issues with other ritzonos, and therefore even if the Yetzer were to come to a neshama, there's absolutely no motive. There's nothing there that speaks to a neshama other than the good. Masha'in Kane, if when we have a body, the Yitzhara comes and says, it feels wonderful to eat this. It feels wonderful to hear people say this about you. So the Chaimer itself is sort of the stage in which Ra can move a person. Without Chaimer, so if I were to get rid of my Chaimer, if a person who has diminished Taivis, Yitzhara really has to work overtime to get him to do an Aveir. There's very little of it that he can stimulate. So as a person becomes a more sikhliistic person, more in the world of chachma, there's less and less of the guf, of him being identified with his guf, and the mela chet has much less mark in the bichal. The chelik of doing chesed is developing the part of the person that is not chumri. Altruism is not a chumristic aspect of a person. He has the voice
meaning the coarseness. Umitzar a voice a chomri I efshe shir loy schus ol kachen chasid.
So in Amoritz, if a person is not an ish chachman, not ish seichel, there has to be some sort of aspect of coarseness to him. A person's mind is busy with something, and if it's not divrei chachma and seichel, it's whatever else. So therefore you have two areas that a person can be osik in and move towards the world of ruchnias. It's interesting, he doesn't pick, they're not picking a particular mitzvah. All mitzvahs are wonderful. But if you're looking for something that sort of engulfs the entire person and specifically speaks to the person as an ish, seichel, those two would be things like that. The world of chesed is a non-physical world. It's giving up of my physical. And Torah is a world that is sort of beyond anything. It's called a seichel. And so, generally speaking, he's learning this inyan as not a kapara in the midah k'neged midah, as much as it lifts a person above his averis. There's a lashon chazal, asher adam nesui pesha. It's a person needs to be bigger than his chatoim, bigger than his pesha. For Oma, the Kaivas Bonov, Christ by Perkamnik Tushin Kechatoim Nikru Pri, Shnem Vayochum Pri Darkom, or the Kachim Kaivas Bonov with Siluk Pri Shaloi, there's a Chapi Gankan Pri Malolo. So here he speaks in the Gera of Amida Kereged Mida that the person ridding himself of that which he feels is his produce, so to speak, is Amida Kereged Mida. Vieshkala Hovin Oid. Anything which a person is a mite is guf is a kapara. Because the kara of work ilugufoy, or the kach dovaze who miut la adam, the choldavashu miut la adam who kapara vesilka chatoim bevadei. So all of these wear a person down, umipneze mishalam Hashem's barach avoyin oves alchayk bneim kehim gufoy. Avle isha, avgav disha gufa dami,
מקומקום אין דוימה משהו כגופוי ומשהו גופוי. וכאשר נשמעי טוב הזה, so he adds this a parenthetical remark, to מחלק between אישטוי כגופוי, or one of our related person and so on. Isha Gufa means she's as dear to him, as treasured to him, as important to him. But when you want to go really midah keneged midah, it's that which is you, and banim is you, because ha'adam is smayet tov azu kapar lavim shaloi v'zeh shazoch dafikay v'zbanav. Avgat kosim chaprin ha'ene sunak b'shal she miyet gufa adam v'dav shakoy banav v'yoyse. So once we're looking from this prism of miyet ha'adam, v'nei shebanav v'yoyse reichav v'atzmai v'koyvaysam v'miyet gufa shal adam. I want to add another nekuda here. It's since we said that the guf of the person, the chumris of the person, is an absolute prerequisite for chet to be chal. So when you memayit the kaimis adam, lamashal. If in order to shoot at somebody, in order to kill somebody, I have to shoot at his goof. The smaller the goof is, the less space I have to shoot at it. There's less makom that's being nitfas, and it's harder. If a person has a lot of appetites and needs and sense of self and so on, then there's a lot of room for ra to latch on and to land. When a person has very little physicality, then the person himself is there's very little mokum for the rat to land on. He's got very little appetite. He's got very little needs. He's got very little need of displaying himself, projecting himself. Then there's very little mokum for chet to bichal. Okay, so we'll hold it here. Any questions? What?
Hi, it's Ephraim.
Hi, Ephraim, how are you?
Just
a little louder.
Sorry, can you hear me?
Now I can hear you well, yeah.
Yeah, so it sounds like the reason why Torah specifically is because it's sichli.
Right.
So is that have to do with Torah per se, or just the fact that you're being osik in Yanei Chachma and your mafshi, you're good because of that?
So It's two prong. First of all, it is a sickly stick enterprise, just doing it. You know, so you're studying, but for that you could have done geometry, you could have done engineering. But there's another knage. Since the matara of Torah is sichlius, in other words, if a personal martial, let's say, studies business, marketing, food preparation, etc. The actual studying is a non-physical act, but the content is the food, the business, the money. When a person is studying about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, being close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Toiv and Ra, so the content of what he studies is Ruchnis as well. And that's why it brings the person to he's in an olam that's ruchnius. What counts, what he's learning is not how to sell more widgets. He's learning what is the good that a person ought to do. What's the toiv?
Okay.
Okay. Good Shabbos. Take care. Bye.